From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman at State of Nevada. She's known as the Wonder Woman of cheese in Las Vegas. Diane Breyer is an artisan cheesemaker, affineur, and monger, which means she's also an expert at charcuterie boards. Producer Lorraine Blanco-Moss talks Brie, Stilton, and Gruyere with the owner of Valley Cheese and Wine.
We're getting really cheesy today because we've got the Wonder Woman of cheese with us. It's a good day for people like us, KK.
Lorraine, I have looked forward to this day for weeks.
But not for the lactose intolerant. Diane Breyer, owner of Valley Cheese and Wine, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
How did you become a cheese superhero?
Essentially, that boils down to the fact that I've done just about everything that there is to do in the cheese industry. So from the visiting the farms and speaking with the animals, to checking out milking barn conditions, to pasteurization of the milk receipt and testing, all the way through cheese make, affinage, every element of the supply chain I've done, importing, warehousing, supplies, logistics, mongering. I'm a certified cheese professional, certified cheese sensory evaluator, and own my own cheese shop as well. And I'm a WSET level 2 in wine.
So you like cheese?
A little bit. Cheese likes me.
All right. It is the holiday season. Charcuterie boards. They're kind of what the cool kids are using as an app nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it everywhere. Super viral. What makes a great board? What are some things that you have to have on a great board?
So I would be remiss if I didn't mention that charcuterie only actually refers to cured meats. And so when people are making charcuterie boards, they're actually misnomering these things that have cheese and other things included on them. So I like to call them cheese and charcuterie boards. But charcuterie boards themselves, as a broad term, we can use that so that everybody has an understanding of what we're speaking about. They really consist of great cheeses, great meats, great accompaniments, and great thought and effort that are put forward into it, not just into the presentation and the visual design of the board, but if it makes sense to eat, if it makes sense to enjoy with whatever's going on for the evening, or whatever's even going on next to it on the board is really important. You don't want to have like a sliced kiwi next to a piece of blue cheese, because that's probably not going to taste super good if you were to put those together on your palate.
So we're looking at a board right now. It's
we are.
Gorgeous.
Thank you. Just a minimalist.
I like minimalists.
Me too.
You've made it specially for Thanksgiving Day, because that's what we're coming up on any minute now.
Mm-hmm.
So describe what's on the board and why you've chosen it.
So this is actually a really interesting sort of thruple of food here.
Thruple.
And the reason is because all of the wines that I've brought with me today pair with all of the cheeses that are on the board. And both the wines and the cheeses also pair with your traditional Thanksgiving Day meals. There's a double cream brie that's a Chaoir style from Côte d'Or. So Burgundian brie here. And then we have Sottocenere al Tartufo. Sottocenere is a semi-soft cow's milk cheese from Veneto in Italy, and it's aged with, Sottocenere means under ash, so it's aged with ash, coriander, nutmeg, clove, and cinnamon on the rind, imparts a little bit of that baking spice characteristic, but then has a small smattering of like Italian black truffles that are just gently woven throughout that paste. It really allows some of your reds, like your Pinots, your Burgundian Pinots, your Burgundy style Pinots, your Oregon Pinots that have a little bit of that forest floor characteristic to really, really proliferate the truffle flavor profile onto the palate without being too assertive against anything else that's happening on the meal. Over here is Gruyere. This is an 1655 Le Crête Gruyere. It's a super small production, super clean, direct representation. All the salt used in the production of this cheese has to come from a 200 million year old estuary where it's like constantly being cleaned. So it's just really like huge and direct, and it's a beautiful, as we all know, Gruyere is the melting cheese for French onion soup.
Mm-hmm.
So your onion casseroles, your green bean casseroles, things like that. And then also you have a cranberry cinnamon torta. This is a holiday torta that we actually make at Valley Cheese and Wine. We had a wine in the shop that didn't have a cheese pairing, and I was like, well, I guess I'll just make one. So
nice when you can do that.
Yeah, a little bit. This is a fresh goat's milk cheese that we add cinnamon and honey to and then top with tart cranberry. So it goes with all of your dessert wines. You can also, this actually is really good with meats. Like it's really, it brought a little bit of smoked duck breast with me today. The sweet and the savory are just beautiful together. So it integrates really well with your dessert wines, with your dessert meal, like with that after that 3 hour later dessert that we do at Thanksgiving.
We've got our senior producer, KK, with us. Don't you just love how we're getting so bougie in the morning?
Yes.
And also, like, super nerdy about cheese. I love that.
This is my love language.
I'm so glad.
Everything you're
saying. Then you're going to be in love with me by the time we're done.
Oh.
I wish everybody could see this stupid happy grin I have right now as you're talking about all this.
It's great.
So I hear that you're going to do a popping for us.
I am going to do
popping.
Yeah. So we're going to do a classic pairing, which is champagne and brie.
Okay.
I mean, bubbly and brie is absolutely a great go-to. It's a great way to greet your guests, a great way to start your dinner. We actually have a really old champagne house that's in the south part of Champagne. So it actually butts right up to Burgundy, which makes it a really fun pairing with this brie. But the other interesting thing about it being so south in Champagne, ready?
Okay. Ooh,
pretty.
Yeah.
So with this one, you actually get some stone fruit characteristics to show through, which is really atypical of Champagne, which typically are more lemony, brioche, toasty, nutty. Really
Ooh,
interesting.
I love the nose.
Mm-hmm. You have that traditional sort of lemon curd. There is a little bit of a toasty, yeasty undertone. It's definitely a Champagne, but it's just a little bit atypical, and I love that.
Okay, so for the cheese.
We're going to do it with brie. Yep, so this is going to be Fleur de Nuit. This is a Rodolphe Limonier cheese. He's like my cheese superhero.
I also love how we're touring the world here. We're going to France, then yes. We're going to stop in Italy, and mm-hmm. So totally here for that.
I want to save a lot of people's lives right now.
Wonderful.
Oh my gosh.
So
save our lives.
I used to be a cheesemaker, right? I was part of the team at Rogue Creamery when we made the batch of cheese that won Best Cheese in the World. I was in charge of the cheese making at the time. Cheese science and I are very good friends. So one of the things that is one of the most common sort of myths about cheese is that it contains lactose. The first thing we do as cheesemakers is we acidify the milk. It comes in at what, like 6.68 pH, whatever a cow is like dealing with that day, or whomever, sheep, goat. We acidify that milk, thereby converting the lactose into lactic acid, the remainder of which is actually eaten up during enzymatic activity during the affinage, or what is the aging process of the cheese. So by the time that cheese is like exiting the cave, most cheese, even after 2 weeks, has like minimal, if not trace amounts of lactose left. But if you're over 6 weeks, you're probably going to be dealing with 0 grams of lactose in that cheese. And the best way to check me is turn a piece of cheese over. You know how cheese is so keto friendly is because it doesn't have any sugar.
Mm.
Lactose is a sugar.
Wow.
So think about it that way. If you're dealing with lactose intolerance in cheese, check your cheese. If it says 0 grams of sugar, or go to a monger. That's why it's so important to have a good cheesemonger who actually has like read a little bit.
Yes.
You know, because any one of us who has actually studied cheese is going to be able to relay this information to you. If you're dealing with a sensitivity and you're still eating cheeses like Parmigiano Reggianos and Goudas that are for sure free of lactose, cheddars, all of those things, and you're still having sort of like a digestive response to that, it likely doesn't have anything to do with lactose. It has more to do with the molecular structure of casein, which is the main protein in milk. And if you've ever gone to the grocery store and seen those milks that say A2, that's what that is. So A1 is like a spiky, like assertive protein. My hands are in the air going everywhere. a spiky, assertive protein that is really difficult to digest for some people, whereas goats and sheep milk don't produce that sort of structure of protein, and some breeds of cow do not as well. So
Wow. If
you stick with sheep and goat milk, and if you're like still having problems with cheese, but sheep and goat milk don't bother you, it likely has to do with molecular structure of proteins.
Wow, hear that, K2, our website producer, and lactose intolerant people everywhere. Diana just blew our minds.
I can help you. Yeah, and Google it for sure. Like there's a cheesesciencetoolkit.org. Our dearly departed cheese pro, Pat Pulowski, dedicated his life to sort of like the science of cheese. And there's just so much. It's a rabbit hole of information of cheese science.
Good to know.
I'm going to take us over to Burgundy again. The white wine is a Macon Solutre. So it is a Chardonnay. A little bit of oak on this. Really beautiful. You've got like nice lemony characteristics. This is basically designed to go with your side dishes. Chardonnays and Alpine styles like Comté and Gruyère and Beaufort are beautiful together. Let's get some Gruyère over there.
Okay.
So the cheese is really saturating the palate. When you're chewing cheese, it's just like doing a wine tasting. Push your tongue up along the roof of your mouth towards the back of your top teeth like you're trying to scrape peanut butter off your palate.
Okay.
Aerate your lips slightly, part your lips slightly. That's going to really allow some of the more like finishing characteristics of the Gruyère to show forward. Like you might now detect some like caramelized onion that you weren't getting before.
Yes.
There's cultured cream. There's nuttiness here. There's a little bit of tyrosine crystal formation that's providing a slight granularity of texture. So
it is heaven with the wine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. I mean, this is a pairing that not a lot of people are messing with, and I'm just not sure why.
Can I ask about the crunch on this one?
Absolutely.
You started to mention it, but is that the crystallization or what? How
sure.
does cheese get that crunch?
So that's a great question. Mm-hmm. There are two types of crystals. There's calcium lactate, which you often see on the outside of cheddars. And then there's tyrosine. Tyrosine is what you see that's like the Pop Rocks of cheese. That's what you get in those Parmigiano Reggianos that have a lot of age on them. And those aged Goudas that have those specklings, that's tyrosine. And tyrosine is an amino acid, so it's a building block of protein. It results as a byproduct of enzymatic activity during the aging process of the cheese. And so we actually produce a chemical in our olfactory bulb called tyrosine hydroxylase. When we eat tyrosine cheeses, it releases oxygen to the brain and bloodstream. So there's a reason why these cheeses make you feel so good.
KK, that's why it's your love language. She just answered the question.
She did.
I always think of like a Maldon salt or something when I bite into that crunchiness. And I'm like, oh, it's like a sea salt.
It is
to
very
me.
Like delicate salt-like characteristic. It's totally, totally normal to conflate the two. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do the red wine now.
Okay, so this is Resonance. Resonance is an Oregon producer. So this is a single vineyard. It's very like Pommard. It's very Burgundian style, very Burgundian influence. So you're going to get a lot of like tart cherry and cranberry notes in the wine. But you also get a distinct level of like forest floor, some earthy mushroominess too. And this is, Pinot is perfect for Thanksgiving. I mean, it really is one of the most highly suggested wines to kind of like go with your Thanksgiving dinner. So this is with Sottocenere al Tartufo. So this is the one
that's
aged under ash, coriander, nutmeg, clove, cinnamon. We sort of talked about it earlier. Semi-soft cow's milk means that you're going to have a nice sort of toothsome, snackable texture. It's going to saturate the palate after just a few times chewing. When you pair it with the Pinot, the cow's milk is going to play beautifully with the fruit of the wine, whereas the earthiness and that complexity, that forest floor of the Resonance is going to play beautifully with the truffle, and it's really going to leave you with this just exhalation of truffle on the palate.
It almost tastes meaty to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think mushrooms do that a lot because of that umami.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's sensational.
Yeah, this is a great, this is an excellent pairing.
Wow.
We're
good
fans.
Job, Diana. Wow.
Thanks. I do stuff.
Yeah. You do things.
I do stuff with cheese and wine.
Let's move on to our last pairing.
So this is a port, but it's a white port because I don't think it gets enough play because it's got a lot of like herbaceous characteristics and it can be a little bit nutty as well. Mm-hmm. So I find it that it might be like really fun to introduce to some of your like pumpkin pies and your pecan, whatever you're doing this holiday.
I'm doing a pumpkin Basque cheesecake, which is a burnt cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
And it is gorgeous and delicious.
So most of us are used to ports being very deep and dark and heavy. This is going to be so affable. It's going to be so amenable to whatever conversation you're having on your dessert table because there are a lot of people that have a lot of different dessert preferences, right? So this is going to go with a little bit of everything. It's just sweet enough. With ports, you can make tonic, like you can add a little bit of tonic in there. You can add some sparkling, some effervescence in there. And you can make like port spritzers with this as well.
I've never heard of that. I love that idea.
Oh my gosh. If you just like smack some rosemary and then throw some ginger beer on top of this. Great holiday cocktail. For sure.
Are we pairing this with the cranberry cheese that you make?
Yeah. So this was meant to brie.
It's warm. It's spicy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask you before we go, how do you come up with these combos? Like, I know that you're studying wine and obviously you've been studying cheese for many years.
Mm-hmm.
How do you come up with these combinations?
This is, I think, one of the things that sort of like separates me from other cheese professionals or other professionals in the industry is that I don't know why. I am sort of like a female Rain Man of cheese. I will be in a tasting and tasting a wine, you know, 20 feet away from my cheese case, and a cheese will sort of like raise its hand like, hey, I'm the pairing.
Wow.
And so I just go to it and it works. So I sort of have this mental Rolodex of cheese that whenever anything is introduced to my palate, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what cheese do I put with this? And that transcends wine. That goes to beer, spirits, cigars, cannabis, candles, scents, anything you can think of. I can pair cheese in anything. And it's just, I have taken a lot of time to sort of hone my palate. I'm a certified super taster, so I do have like twice as many taste buds, and I'm really sensitive to like bitter and spicy, but it also allows me to pick up between like, this is cut grass or this is fresh grass in the morning, and I can taste the difference on the palate.
It's like a cheese psalm.
It is. It's like a master sommelier of cheese. Yeah, there are very few of us.
I love it. Diana Breyer, the Wonder Woman of Cheese, owner of Valley Cheese and Wine. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a treat.
This is State of Nevada.